This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Today we hear from two candidates running for the state legislature. Coming up, former state representative Eric Nesbitt is now running for state senate. He's one of three Republicans seeking his party's nomination in the 26th state senate district, which includes Van Buren and Allegan counties. But first, three Democrats are competing for their party's nomination in the 61st state house district. That includes most of the city of Portage, as well as Oshtemo, Prairie Ronde, Schoolcraft, and Texas townships. Alberta Griffin is one of the Democrats who is running in the August primary. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you would like to do if you're elected to the Michigan House.
Well, I am a faculty member in the School of Public Affairs and Admin at here at Western Michigan University. I've actually worked at Western for over 7 years now. I'm a small business owner. I have a data solutions company called AGS Data, and we work primarily in lower Michigan, Indiana, some international work to improve the human condition. So we spend a lot of time working on community-related issues that have to do with basic needs, income, health, outcomes for communities, and I'm a mom of three robust teenagers and preteens that keep me busy in the summertime. I'm running for office because of the work that I've done at the state level that has to do with improving the lives of families. And when I felt like I didn't have a voice, I decided to be the person that writes the legislation that gives people like me a voice.
So what are some particular bills you would want to work on, a couple that are at the top of the list for you?
Well, I think that when we talk about our natural resources and water, that everyone has a right and human right to have access to clean water and to also look at environmental issues that are very much concerning in our community and our country right now. Michigan is a state that has natural resources in abundance, and we should, along with having those natural resources, every person in our community should have access to that. I also want to look at infrastructure issues that we've currently been addressing. We're looking at our roads, and we're trying to make repairs, not just in urban settings, but in rural and suburban areas as well. And those are where my constituents are. They have as many concerns about quality roads and access as any person, and I want them to have that same thing. And mostly, and finally, focusing on family safety and security. That's a really important issue for me. As a mother of school-aged children, I look at the news every day, and I think about what individuals are most concerned about, and I'm concerned about it too. And so to have the opportunity to actually discuss that and write legislation that protects families is really important to me.
What do we specifically need on family safety and security? What's the state's role?
Well, I think we need common sense gun control. I mean, we really do. We need to have a conversation about individuals' ability to access firearms, but also in that same arena, allowing for individuals, like we have this conversation all the time about mental health, and the stigma with mental health is attached oftentimes with gun control issues. And I'd like to reduce that stigma. I'd like to separate those two and look at them as isolated issues. When a person has a mental health concern, it affects a family. And that doesn't necessarily mean that person is capable of doing harm to other people or people inside of their family. So having the conversation about why those two things are separate, sometimes they do congeal, but for the most part, most people are trying to do the best they can. There isn't a single person in our country that is in touch by mental health. That individual isn't necessarily subjugated to harm another person. So they're more likely to, be focused on themselves. And that is a part of that family structure, that having that discussion about families feeling safe and families being secure is reducing that stigma.
Well, specifically then on guns, if we separate that from mental health for the moment, who should be able to own a gun in Michigan? And should there be limits on the types of guns that they should be allowed to own?
I believe there should be limitations. I do believe with regard to type and accessibility. I think that just like when we have a person that wants to drive a car, that they take training, they pass a test. And in no way, shape, or form should that be any different with regard to guns. I have, and you see this on my website, my family is a family of hunters. We're from the South. But we also believe in preparation. We believe in having individuals that spend their time learning learning the quality and the type of instrument that they're going to be using, and when it's appropriate and when it's not appropriate. And every person that's interested in having access to a firearm should do the same thing. We're not trying to take away Second Amendment rights. We are just ensuring that every single person is aware of the gravity of owning and utilizing that specific item.
So let's go back to, you mentioned driving, and you also mentioned roads when you started. Does the state need to find more revenue for roads? In other words, does there need to be, and it was a proposal, of course, in 2015 that voters rejected overwhelmingly, but an increase in the gas tax or something for more money? Or is it simply a matter of finding the money right now in Michigan's budget and putting it into roads?
Well, I think, you know, as within my district specifically, we are fortunate to have the, you know, we have, you know, accessibility to items, and we can all see that our roads are being worked on right now. It's one of the reasons why, you know, Oakland Drive is completely bombarded. So we're working on our infrastructure. What I want to do is focus on our community level infrastructure. Obviously, when you enact pieces of legislation, they can be statewide. But one of the things I want to make sure is that my constituency gets that. And so, you know, looking at taxes and looking at other opportunities is obviously, you know, something that we'll focus on. But we are fortunate that we have access and ability to be able to do this work within our own county. And I'm going to support whatever county level pieces of legislation or millages that would allow for us to do that. The same way that we're rebuilding our schools and Portage, we need to look at those dollars and how they can be allocated for other things that we need.
What would you do to try and reduce auto insurance rates in Michigan? We have the highest auto insurance rates among the 50 states.
So I had a very robust conversation with an individual with regard to insurance rates a weeks ago. And, you know, we have to look at, we always say follow the money, and we have to look at our accident rates. We have to look at a lot of different issues that cause those rates to be higher. In the state of Michigan, and once again, put on my data hat, right? We have if you look at the county health rankings, our quality of life and our length of life is lower on average than the majority of people in the country. So we're addressing something that when people are estimating the insurance, the cost of a person driving a car, the cost of a person, you know, getting health care, because that's another issue that we have high health care. You know, our ACA rates are higher and we have issues here. And it also has to do with access to quality health care, access to things that would lower the risk. So when I think of lowering insurance rates, I think about improving the health and well-being of people in Michigan. And by doing so, we get on a level playing field, like in areas like Colorado or California, where they invest dollars in the health and the well-being of their constituents, and then therefore they have better, lower interest or lower risk.
But one of the things that also Michigan has that other states don't is unlimited lifetime benefits for somebody who is injured in a catastrophic accident.
Yes.
Does that need to be curtailed? Can Michigan continue to afford to do that and still somehow bring down auto insurance rates?
Well, I think that specific area is tied directly to the type of work that people in our state do. We are a state of workers, and we are a state of individuals that do manual labor. And so we'd have to start to look at the type of work that we do in this community that has a higher risk. So we go back to risk again.
Well,
so,
but the risk specifically would be involved with auto accidents. You don't necessarily get lifetime benefits, you know, for something else. It's if you're involved in a car accident, which leaves you needing long-term care. And again, no other state does that. Michigan's the only one. So
I can't say for 100% certainty that I would want that to go away. We have a lot of, and I'd have to take a better look at it and to be able to answer that specifically.
What would you do to make education better in the state of Michigan?
So that's a loaded question in my mind, and not in a bad way, right? Because again, there's quite a few caveats to improving education in the state. We are living in a time where, you know, there are different standards from public to private to independent school systems. And to be able to fully address that and to is hard. Michigan is a state that has one of the least, the lowest requirements when children are doing school homework from home, homeschooling, and charter schools. They have different standards. So when we get to the national playing field, we look different. We really do. I have two homeschooled kids. I'm not sure if you knew that or not. And I have one child that goes to public education. And your education in this state varies based on the access that you have and the quality of care. My youngest daughter goes to Mooresbridge School, and she has access to items that I wouldn't say would be available in the north side of Kalamazoo. And so until we find some level of equity and justice, we're going to have a hard time bringing Michigan up to the same standard as other states. We just are.
Voters in Michigan will decide in November whether or not to make marijuana legal for recreational purposes. Do you think that they should approve that ballot measure?
So I have a very mixed view about that, only because I feel like if we allow for that to happen, we should also rescind all of the convictions that we've had with regard to individuals that are in jail for the same thing. We can't. It is not a one-off. You can't allow this to be legal, and then every person that's been sitting in prison for the last 15 or 20 years to not be freed for something that can be highly profitable for the state of Michigan.
Another proposal that will likely be on the ballot or could be on the ballot, depending on how the Michigan Supreme Court rules, involves redistricting. Would you say that people should support that?
I think that we should support having the gerrymandering needs to end. We need to have, if we have a county that's a square, we should have the ability to vote within that square and not be pushed around based on what they think the lines will be for people to win, or for certain groups to win.
Although for a state house district, for instance, we've got 83 counties and 110 state house districts, so you can't just vote in a square that way.
Well, I mean, in the sense of, and I get that, right? Like, so because there need to be splits. But if you look at some of the different ways that they've recut the 60th to the 61st, was controversial and should have been.
Well, speaking of that, the 61st state house district's been represented by Republicans as long as anybody can remember.
Mm-hmm.
So why should people, as they're focusing on who they're going to vote for in August, think that if they're a Democrat, that Alberta Griffin is someone who can change the game come the fall?
Well, what I do know is that I've been in this community for 20 years. And I have been in Oshtemo. I live in Portage. And I know this community. I've worked in this community. I've served this community. And although it has been traditionally conservative, what I do know now more than ever is that people are voting for the person and not necessarily the party. And Hillary won this county. And this district was very close in 2016, which has given us an opportunity to take a step in this direction to flip the district. I do believe in the blue wave. I do believe that we can change this community. But most importantly, I live here. I'm here. I know the folks that live here. I know they're good people, and I know that they want a good person representing them. They want someone that lives and breathes and works and spends their time here in the district. And we see that when we're knocking on all the doors that we knock on. We see it every day.
Alberta Griffin is one of three Democrats running for her party's nomination in the 61st State House District. That includes most of the city of Portage, as well as Oshtemo, Schoolcraft, Prairie Ronde, and Texas Townships. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.